Welcome everyone to our podcast this Friday night. God bless you for being here. I'm Pastor Danny Lalayan with my wife Julie and my son Benji. We're very glad to be here with you and glad that you're able to watch us, whether it be watching us live or you've come back and to watch another time. We are glad you're here with us. We are so excited because this is the year of manifestation where Amen. God is manifesting his power
Amen.
So that all the earth can see what his plan is. And we know what his plan is. God wants to find a holy remnant, because when he finds a holy remnant, then our Lord and Savior can return. Praise the Lord. We're going to jump in with some things tonight. And we were just sitting here discussing discussing what we wanted to talk about. And the Lord put something, struck something on my heart. And we're going to run with it, and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit has to say about it. But what the Lord put on my heart was four or five things that keep people from studying and understanding the Word of God properly. It really is an epidemic in the church world today. It is an epidemic that people are not studying the Word of God properly. They're not understanding the Word of God properly. They're just not. And if you do not understand the Word of God, then you're going to get into trouble. And throughout the decades, throughout the centuries, this has been an issue, and it has led to there are things that we read about in our history books that happened in the church that a lot of it, in large part, was because someone or someones did not understand the Word of God, and they started a denomination.
Right.
They started a church. They started a movement.
It leads to separation and division, which is one of the things that the devil preys upon.
They did not understand what God's word was trying to say, and eventually the devil used it. It might have even been something small, but the devil was able to use it to build something that was against the actual work of God. And it happens over and over and over and over and over again. Now, that's on a historic level, but the devil does that in people's lives today, in individual lives, in families. It certainly has happened in the greater church world today. What you are seeing in the church world today
is the fruit of a lot of small groups of people gathering together to sit and just chat back and forth about casually about the Word of God and eat their chips and drink and talk about the Bible.
Dumbing it down.
That's really where I was.
Not understanding what it's about because they're not being taught, because they're heaping up for themselves teachers.
Yes, and that's where I was going to go with that. Thank you. That's perfect. you know, the church today doesn't look anything like the church of decades ago, and people say, look how far we've come. And the actual answer is, no, look how far you've fallen.
We've slid down.
That's the real answer. Look how far you have fallen. And the Bible talks about exactly what she just said. It says everybody runs to their own house to serve the Lord. Everybody runs to their own house to do it the way they want to do it. Now, in today's culture, that has become such a movement that people actually think, oh, look how free we are in the Lord. Look how free we are. We can worship God with the way that we want to, and God accepts it. And none of that is in the Word of God. None of it. None of that is true. In fact, the Word of God teaches against doing that. That's the whole idea when the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's not just so that you can say you're together, because if that were the case, you could be together anywhere. The idea is because God has a way he wants to do things.
Right.
He has anointed leaders that he has chosen, not that man has anointed themselves. He has a way he wants to do it, and the idea all throughout the Word of God is that God wants you And he wants his people to receive ministry from those whom he has chosen, not to run to their own house.
Right.
And it's so against what is being taught in today's church, because somebody had the grand idea a few decades ago of, we're in bondage by doing it this way, and the Bible says bondage is not of God, and so we're going to start doing it the way we want to, and it sounds like a, well, Paul called it a form of godliness, but it has no power. It sounds good. Freedom always sounds good. Getting rid of bondage always sounds good, but if you take the power out of it, then it's worthless. It's not of God, and so I want to talk about, again, four or five things that keep us from really understanding the Word of God. Now, this is not, I quickly said, these are the four things on my heart, and I had Julie write them down so she can read them to us all. But one that I didn't tell her, that I'll just kind of, we've already kind of hit on it, so we really don't need to talk about it. But maybe the biggest one is having the anointing of God be the thing that teaches us the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And if it's not through those that are anointed, and again, I know what people say, well, you know, each man is to work out his own salvation. But yes, but it still has to be.
That's in daily life.
Yeah, it still has to be
daily life,
through
24/7.
The anointed plan of God. It still has to be. The Bible talks about, it says, how will they hear unless someone speaks and is sent to them? That's the anointing, is that God has to send his word, and then you take it into your life and you walk it out. That's what that scripture means. So anyway, go ahead, Julie, read to us number one, and we'll these are really self-explanatory. This might be the shortest podcast we've ever had, but we'll try to talk about it a little bit.
But they're big.
Yes.
The ones that you're highlighting today, these are really big ones. The first one that we're going to get into is what keeps people from understanding the Word of God, not understanding the difference between righteousness and holiness.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. Let me just first quickly, for if you don't understand, righteousness is a legal judgment. It is a legal judgment that God as judge, you see, we forget that God is judge. God as judge in the great courtroom of heaven, he sits and says, you're either righteous or you're not righteous. You're either guilty or you're not guilty. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, when you walk through the blood, he looks at you and he says, you're not guilty anymore. You are righteous in my eyes.
Amen.
And biblically, there is nothing we could do to be righteous on our own.
Right.
No matter what we wanted to do, the Bible makes it clear that we could not be righteous by anything we do. Works,
that's right.
Nothing we do could make us righteous in the eyes of God.
Right.
There's only one thing. It's the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that makes us righteous. Now, here's where this principle comes into. If you just read that and you think that that's what it is, that's the end of it, then you think you don't have to do anything. But righteousness is what gets you through the door. It puts you through the door of Christ. That righteousness puts you into place so that you are now a new creation. Mm-hmm. And why are you a new creation? So that God can use you. So that you could please God. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Without that new creation of faith, you can't please God. And so people stop at righteousness and they don't understand that there's another word. And it's holiness. And a lot of times, most of the time, people read where it says God wants righteousness, and then they read God wants holiness, and they think it's talking about the same thing. And it's not. They're two totally different principles.
Holiness is perpetual.
Well, you see, righteousness is something that is given to us at salvation. You are made righteous through the blood of Christ. You can't do it. We can't do it. No one could do it on their own. Holiness is what happens after salvation.
Right.
After you're saved, God said, God's, what does he say? He says, be holy, for I am holy. Mm-hmm. Holiness is that it literally means to be separate. It means to live your life where you're so separate that everything exalts God and points to him in your life. Holiness is that holy separation. The Bible talks about the highway of holiness that you're supposed to walk on. You see, they're two totally different things. And if you don't understand that they're different, then one of two things is going to happen. Either you're, and this is the first one is where most 99% of people are today. But you're going to think that, well, he made me righteous and I couldn't do it. Only he could do it. Now I've got nothing to do. I can do whatever I want to because his righteousness covers anything that I do for eternity. And it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter if I find where the anointing is. It doesn't mind. It doesn't matter if I tithe, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters because I am righteous, and so God sees me as righteous no matter what. And that's, if you think that they're the same, that's where most people fall. Now, the other side, and there have been people like this throughout history, that if you don't understand that righteousness can only come through the grace and blood of Christ, and you only think about holiness, then you get into this lifestyle of ritualism, and your rituals are what you think pleases God. That's not the case, but most people fall under the first one, where you just think you're righteous and you can do whatever you want. But the whole thing is you have to understand both, that you are saved, you are made righteous through the blood of Christ, but then after you're righteous, God expects you to live holy. He expects you, now that you're a new creation, he expects you to walk and to live in holiness. Why? Because he's holy. And if you understand that you have to walk in holiness, that's a whole new ballgame. That changes everything. And
notice he said walk. In other words, it's not just a one and done thing.
And that's right. And I've been recently, I've talked about it at a couple of different services. I might have even mentioned it in here on our podcast last Friday, but I just recently read a sermon by A.W. Tozier where he was just, you could tell that he was just almost beside himself in a way, because he said the church so doesn't understand what God wants and requires of them. He says, I'm fearful that all these people sitting in these churches, that they're not actually going to see the Lord one day because they don't understand that God is looking for a holy remnant. Now, again, that's hard for people to digest, but you could tell that he was fearful for people's lives because they don't understand. They get the righteousness part, but they don't understand the holiness part. And listen, there's a lot that, admittedly, there's a lot that we can't get to today. There's a lot that maybe we don't understand. But you had better understand that righteousness and holiness are two totally different things. And if you read the Word of God, and you don't understand the difference between righteousness and holiness, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. If you don't understand, you're going to mess up. All right, Julie, give us number two.
The second one is by not understanding that God can do more than one thing at a time that may seem opposite.
That's another big one. I guess all of these are going to be big. So, but that's another big one. You see, there are things in the Word of God, and if you're going to read God's Word and understand it, you have to get this. There are things in the Word of God that run concurrently to each other. They're both running at the same time, and they look like they're juxtaposed, that they're opposite of each other. There's actually people that, I've heard many people say, well, you really can't trust the Word of God to read it and really take it in because there's things that are opposite of each other, so that it can't be true. But you have to understand that if you read the Word of God, because God is God and He's eternal and He is omnipotent, omniscient, He is omnipresent, He's God. Because He is God, He can have two things going on at the same time, even if they seem opposite of each other. And if you don't read the Word of God and understand that, then you're going to get confused. You're going to say, well, this says this, and this says something that seems almost opposite of that. They can't both be true, but the answer is they absolutely can be true.
Can I give just a quick little concrete, simple example?
Yes.
When it says in the Bible that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, mm-hmm. and 1,000 years is as a day.
Yes.
And that's just a very simple,
simplistic
example.
Way. Yes. Very. Now, the biggest maybe example, the one that runs throughout the entirety of God's Word, is justice and mercy. Mm-hmm. And what has happened is that people don't understand that God can be a God of justice, of truth, that says, this is my just law, and it stands forever. Not the law of Moses. I'm not all the law of Moses. This is my just eternal law, but at the same time understand that God is merciful. And what people today have done, they have chosen mercy, which again, who doesn't want to choose mercy? Mercy should be in everything that we do, in everything that we do. But you know what else should be in everything that we do? Is understanding that God has a just law that God requires. They both run, and there are scriptures that speak to choosing both of them. There are scriptures that you can say, well, God wants you to be a person of justice and truth. And there are scriptures that say God wants you to be a person of mercy. And both of them are true. And the church has so chosen mercy without understanding the justice part of it that it's actually sending people to hell. It's actually sending people to hell. And again, that's just one example. As I read the Word of God, I come to places and I say, boy, that's totally opposite of what this other scripture says. And I think to myself, that's why people are stumbling over it.
Right.
Because they
right.
don't understand that God can have two things going on at the same time, even though they might seem opposite, because He's God. Mm-hmm. We're not the ones doing it. God is the one doing it. It's not, you know, we think in our human terms. We think in our human terms of, well, we got to make things fair. God doesn't think in terms of making things fair.
That's limiting God.
God doesn't do that. God does things in His perfect way. Let me give you another example. It's kind of along the same lines. The Bible clearly says that we're to minister to people no matter where they're at, no matter what part of life, no matter how low, no matter how dirty they are, we're to minister to them. But the Bible also clearly says, and for those people that it matters to, in both the Old and the New Testament, it says, come out from amongst them. It says, come out and I'll be your God and you'll be my people. Come out, don't be with them anymore. You see, those two things are, you can't go in and minister and come out. You can only do that if you understand how God works, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So remember, when you're reading the Word of God, don't try to form your own opinion about the Word of God. Say, God has said this is true, but He also said this is true. And they both can be true at the same time. Don't form your own opinion at how it's supposed to work.
And another quick one for you that fits along the lines of us being the remnant. Wait on the Lord, but at the same time, hasten the coming of Jesus.
It's all in the Word of God. That's a great example.
I think that's a major theme of the Word of God.
Major.
The opposite thing.
It's major. You know, just how about this? This is kind of very general, but just the Old Testament doctrine versus the New Testament ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, you can't minister New Testament style and do things Old Testament style at the same time, which is not true. our people, our heritage has been doing that for 160 years. You have to understand that our doctrine is found in the Old Testament. That's what the Word of God teaches. Yes. And I don't have time to get into that now, but that's where our doctrine is found, is in the Old Testament.
It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Well,
and when he said that
there was
to
no
Timothy,
New Testament.
There was no New Testament.
There was none. And so our doctrine comes from the Old Testament. But our ministry, because of Christ and his Spirit, comes from the New Testament. And they seem so opposite sometimes. They seem so, but they're not. They're not. Not if you walk in the Spirit. The Bible says if you live in the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit and don't walk in the Spirit, it's going to get confusing to you. It's going to be confusing. You can't understand. All right, let's move on to our third one.
All right. The third one is what keeps people from understanding the Word of God: being too literal, and also, or being too fluid, or
so. In other words, being literal or not being literal enough.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I think everyone understands what I mean when I say, there are those people that read the Word of God, and they, every single word, you know, if it says you should have your hair a certain length, they say, well, we got to keep our hair a certain length. You know, that's the way it needs to be. We are, you know, I don't want to pick on anybody, but, you know, you see certain Pentecostal groups that say, well, your hair has to look a certain way. That's the way your hair has to be. And you know, I'm not going to get into all that, but you know what I mean.
A lot of very specific,
you know, and that's been true throughout history, where people take literally things in the Word of God. Now, the funny thing about it is there's other things they don't take literally because they don't want to do it. But there are people that take things literally. Then you've got the other side, though, that they take nothing literally. They say the Word of God is fluid. It changes throughout history. It changes based on
culture,
on things going on around you at that time. It changes. So you can't read the Word of God literally. You have to filter it through human history. You have to filter it through your own brain. You have to filter it through society. You have to filter it over what fits your lifestyle, because God understands that we have different lifestyles, and you can filter it through that. And because of that, that is why you've got a large section of the church world today that gets up and they says, well, you know, this homosexual thing might not be as cut and dried as we thought it was. Well, you know, this idea of there only being one way to get into heaven. Maybe if you're a good person, maybe, you know, how could God throw those people into hell? Because they don't take the Word of God as the Word of God. They don't take it literally enough. And both ways are, you have to take the Word of God literally. But at the same time, there are scriptures that you don't make it fluid based on what you think. You make it fluid based on how the Holy Spirit ministers it. There's a difference. You have to be able to take the Word of God literally while at the same time understanding that God makes things He makes things fit what is needed for the ministry at hand, for the hour at hand. He does both. And if you try to take it literally all the time, then you're going to get into great deception. If you try to take it fluidly all the time, you're going to get into great deception. But you have to be able to do both, only by the Spirit of God. And let me just be honest with you. If someone is not open to the filling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
I'm glad you said
I don't trust them. I don't care who they are.
I'm glad you said
I can name some really big name people, and I don't mean raising their hands. I don't mean clapping their I don't mean that. I mean really saying that they're open to the
gifts of the Spirit.
And then I don't trust them. I immediately say, you don't know what you don't know much. You need to move on. Because only by the Spirit can you do it properly.
Right.
You can try to do it properly, but at some point there's going to be deception involved. And so again, that's really good. You cannot read the Word of God and just say, okay, we're going to do this dot, and we're going to cross this T, and we're going to this and this and this, because eventually you're going to run into something you can't do. You're going to run, and then all of a sudden your theology is so messed up, and then you have to kind of wing it and come up with your own theology. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, if you do things in a fluid, unliteral way, you're going to miss the truth behind God's word. You're going to miss holiness. You might understand righteousness, but you won't get holiness. You won't understand that God requires, because at some point you're going to run into something that's going to make you make a decision, and you're going to say, well, if I decide to do it literally, my whole theology is out the window. So what you do is you say, I just better keep my theology straight, and you, instead of doing God's will, you do it your way. Praise the Lord. Praise God. That was number three, right?
There's one more.
That was actually number three and four together, literal, not literal. So give us one more.
Okay. By not accepting that you cannot pursue God while pursuing anything else.
We have been saying here for a while, the Bible talks about the violent shall take it by force. And there's just a basic truth in the Word of God, a basic understanding that if your sole focus is not a faith-based, supernatural focus, then you're not going to be able to violently take that supernatural realm that God desires us to take. It is so important to lose everything else that the Apostle Paul even said. He said, do not look at what is seen. He said, only look at what is unseen. Because he was trying to get a point across this point that you have to sell out for the supernatural. You have to sell out so much that you remove the natural. And I get so tired of hearing Christians say, well, you're so focused on the supernatural that you're not good in the natural. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I have. Here's the thing. You have to get to where you don't care about the natural. Mm-hmm. That you don't care. And I know that people, they're going to throw out this and this, but the basic premise throughout the Word of God, throughout all of Paul's writings, is put your mind on things that are above. That's what he said in Colossians.
It's a highway of holiness, and it's uphill. You can't coast. You can't coast.
And you can't look back.
You can't float.
You can't look down. You have to always be moving up.
It's an intentional life.
You know, the Bible says you cannot serve both God and mammon. Maybe that's a way that people understand. You cannot be after natural things, because if you're after those things, that's what you're serving. You can't make it. That's what you're serving. You have to go after you cannot go after God. You cannot go after God, the supernatural, unless that's all, if you're doing anything else, then that's what you're doing. God requires soul focus. That is why Jesus says, he said, anyone that wants to come after me, he said, take up your cross, what? Daily.
Daily.
Daily. Daily. You have to lose your natural focus daily, because the devil wants to put it right in front of you. Mm-hmm. He wants, and it's so easy. And once your focus is natural, all of a sudden you find yourself not even believing anymore. Oh, you might sing a Christian song, you might pray a little bit, but in your heart you don't believe. And people don't like to hear this, but I wonder about many people's salvation. I have to. Because Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. And it's not enough. I preached about this Sunday. It's not enough to come to the wedding feast. You have to be wearing the garment. Go read what Jesus said. He saw the man that had no garment. He said, kick him out. He was at the wedding feast. And Jesus said, no, kick him out. And I said, because, and this really was what Tozier was talking about in that sermon of his that I read, is that Christians have lost this whole idea of having to wear the right garment. And so if you're not taking up your cross daily, I worry about people's salvation. I wonder about
it. I've got another reference from the Bible that goes well with this. It's the principle of the narrow gate. And we're talking about the supernatural. You know, that's a narrow pathway. When you got the wide gate that it says leads to destruction, that's where all the other stuff is. That's where all the distractions are. That's where all the natural things are. But the supernatural, it's a straightforward path that you cannot allow any distractions to pull you away. That's why it's a narrow gate. And the Bible does say that there are few who find it.
That's what the Bible says. It says there are few who find it. Listen, don't fool yourself.
But at the same time, God says that he's not willing that any should perish.
That goes back to on the one hand, God would that every one of his creation would receive it. But on the other hand, because he is a just, that's because he's merciful.
Right.
And he made a way.
Right.
Because he's merciful, he made a way.
Yes.
You choose it.
But because he's also a just God, he says, you have to choose the narrow path. He says you have to take up your cross daily. Because why? Because he's a just God. He's a just God. You have to choose it.
Nobody else can make that choice for you.
And the principle of the remnant is, and it has always been, that there are few who find it. And I pray to God that there are people that are going to watch this. And it's going to, I know there's going to be many that hear that statement, and they're going to immediately turn it off, and they're going to say, oh, this guy doesn't understand the mercy of God. But I'm telling you, it is because I understand the mercy of God that I'm beseeching you. Hear the word of God. Hear this man of God when I say to you, how many people have closed their eyes to this earth and opened them to hell because they didn't understand.
Right.
They didn't understand, and they didn't do what the word of God teaches. There are few who find it, is what the Bible says. Well, I think that's all four of them. Praise the Lord. I hope you hear the word of God today. I hope that it touches your heart. And I hope not only does it touch your heart, I hope it moves your heart to go and tell people. It's time for God's true people to be bold. It's time to blow the trumpet in Zion. It's time to take the word of God and to tell people, you know, listen, this isn't a game. This isn't a joke. And I'm talking about not just yes to people you know are sinners, but I'm talking about people that are half-heartedly serving God. I'm talking about people that are against these types of messages. Because as I talked about Tozier, and I encourage you to go read my message, watch it from a couple of weeks ago, what Tozier was talking about, he said, there's people filing out of these churches by the thousands, and they don't know that they're going to hell. They don't know it. I encourage you, not only let it touch your heart, let it move your heart. Yes. It's time to be bold. You say, well, you know, they might not like it. Who cares? Who cares? We have a job
to
do.
It's eternity.
It's eternity.
It's forever.
And you don't know, those people might die tomorrow. Right. You don't know. Benji, tell them what we've got coming up.
Remember our regular services, Sunday morning at 11 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m. in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville. Excuse me. And on all social online platforms that include Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, City on a Hill Church, Coa Church. We have devotions Monday, Thursday, and Saturday that come out on our online platforms. We have Remnant 101 with me on Tuesday at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. Calling the Remnant podcast Friday at 8 p.m. On our online platforms. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify, anywhere else that you can get your podcast. Siri and Alexa can play our podcasts for you. Got functions coming all over the place. We're trying to get the word out more than ever before. We're trying to do more for God. That's one of the things that It's a very simple principle, but we're always trying to do more for God. And that's one thing that we're never going to waver from. If you want to be a part of that, please come find a chance to visit us.
One more thing.
Yes.
On our Facebook page, City on a Hill Church, Loganville, we have the last several newsletters that are posted on there, and they are full of a lot of content
and a lot of scriptures
for your own personal study. Amen. About all of these things.
Amen. Praise God. Well, Lord bless you. We'll see you here same time next Friday night. We've got devotions in between then. We've got services in between then. And I pray that you come and join us. God bless you.